FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Can you believe it? It's February 6th, 2018. Well, you've been watching Bitcoin. You've been watching the market. What do you do? Is this just a blip? Probably so, but that's my humble opinion. Always remember, you listen to my advice, you could easily lose money, at least in the short term. Probably will, in fact. But hey, that's no reason you shouldn't listen to what I'm saying. But crypto trading, cryptocurrency trading, all the rage now. Hey, before we get started with our next guest, be a part of the show, participate. Love getting your emails, kl@kerrylutz.com. That's the email address. I'm only about 40 or 50 behind, but I've been working feverishly the past day, but you keep sending them, which is great. So cryptocurrencies, what's going to happen there? Bitcoin down, last time I looked, which was about a half hour ago, 7,200. Anything can happen in these cryptos, but let's talk with somebody who is an expert in crypto trading. His name is Jared Anderson. Jared, you are head of crypto trading for simplertrading.com, and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Gary. I appreciate you you having me on here.
So crypto, I'm going to assume that if you're listening to the show, you probably know what cryptocurrencies are, digital currencies that utilize the blockchain. There's several thousand of them now. The market is pretty vast and complex. It's in the news now because it's taken a major hit. Jared, what are you seeing in the crypto space here? Is this the swan song for Bitcoin, or is it going to live to fight another day?
Well, so I believe it will definitely live to fight another day. I have a vested interest in that, in that playing out. I am an investor in Bitcoin and many other cryptocurrencies. But yeah, I think really if, you just look back a month or two, you can see that right now we're sitting right where we were around November 15th, 16th, somewhere around there. So we had this massive kind of explosion higher, really this euphoria of all this new money pouring in. And, when you see sort of a parabolic move like this on the chart, it's not too uncommon for an equal move to the downside. And that's exactly what we've seen here. So in large, I think, yeah, it's been a little painful if you've been, exposed to this. But at this point, I would say we're nearing the bottom, especially after sort of the hearing with the Senate today.
Yeah. So the hearing with the Senate, what's going on there?
Sure. So spent really the last probably from 9 till 11 today, Central Time, listening to that. So today the SEC and CFTC chairman met with the Senate really just to kind of discuss cryptocurrencies. Honestly, in large, there wasn't any type of definitive statements that came out of that. It was more of just the same as that, yes, we are continuing to look at these things and, acknowledging that we probably need to start implementing, some regulations and specifically around ICOs. And that was where I heard the most sort of, something's coming type of rhetoric. And in my mind, I would agree, is just, I'm very much kind of libertarian minded. I don't really want the government messing with me. But, the ICO thing last year is really where ICOs took off. And they've gone really just for the most part. It's kind of like the Wild West right now, where there are a lot of people that have probably lost a lot of money being exposed to these things where I would say in large, a lot of them were just scams or Ponzi schemes. So I'm okay with the idea of there being some safeguards to protect, the average Joe. But right now, I think there's a lot still to be figured out because this is not just a U.S. type of issue. This is a global issue since cryptocurrencies are borderless.
Very, very true. And one country, what I learned from the North American Bitcoin Conference in Miami, was there January 18th, was that one country alone, even the United States, cannot effectively regulate this marketplace because once there's an ICO and the tokens are out there, they can be traded anywhere in the world. It doesn't matter where you are. And therefore, one token offering that I saw, ICO offering, they were saying specifically it's not for sale in the US or China. But once it's out there, So maybe you're not going to get the insider price on a initial coin offering, but you're going to be able to buy it anywhere in the world afterwards. So what's the difference here, right?
Sure. I mean, I just definitely think right now that, you know, short of shutting down the entire internet, you know, government's hands are tied to an extent. Now, where I think that when they really start to implement regulations, they're going to go after the exchanges, because right now, you know, for me, when I want to introduce, you know, new fiat or US dollars into the market, I do it through Gemini or Coinbase. So a lot of these exchanges have avoided sort of the money transmitter
statutes,
you know, red tape by not dealing in dollars. So the only way to introduce new capital into some of these exchanges is via another cryptocurrency. Really, a couple of years back, sort of the famous example they made was BitInstant. So the CEO of that was, you know, they didn't register as a money transmitter, and then he got sort of tied into some of the stuff with the Silk Road. So I really think as a whole is, you know, the government has to look at this in a way where, you know, saying, hey, you know, we can't shut these things down. There will be a massive revolt if we try to, because right now, I mean, it's a $300 billion total market cap or industry. So there's a lot of infrastructure that has been built, I would say primarily for Bitcoin to this point. But, I think they have to be cautious about how they go about this. You know, they don't want to stifle innovation. And yeah, I mean, this isn't just in the U.S. government's hands. It's, you know, it is a global issue or opportunity, rather, maybe.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that that people have wound up in jail who didn't really know that they did anything wrong, right? They had no idea that they were doing anything wrong, and they wound up getting wrapped up in this. But when you look at it, like you say, some regulation is definitely helpful, because you want to be able to weed out the scammers, the charlatans, the ripoff artists. But, you know, the government, once they stick their nose under the tent, there's really no telling what they're going to do, right? You know, right now, I think there is a bias to leave it alone, because they're saying this could be a really major growth industry. But, you know, they've screwed up other industries in the past. I see what they're doing with stem cell research, which to me is like one of the biggest things ever. And, you know, they're in the midst of screwing it up. So, you know, how do you protect yourself? How do you protect your students who are going to you to figure this thing out? How do you, you know, because right now it's all self-help. It's all you got to make sure your wallet doesn't get hacked. You make sure that your exchange doesn't get hacked. I mean, a lot of people didn't sign up for this.
Yeah, definitely. I think you bring up a good point is, you know, how do you protect yourself in sort of this, you know, like I said a moment ago, sort of this Wild West environment. And so kind of speaking towards, you know, our members, we always tell people, it's like, look, this is, you know, this is this brand new thing. There really hasn't been clear regulation or, you know, a clear message from Washington or from, you know, governments in general, like what they're going to do about this. And so what we tell, you know, our members is, you know, first off is this isn't something that if, you know, if you're retired, you shouldn't be dumping large amounts of your retirement to this. Not at all. Uh-huh. This is something to where if you are going to speculate on cryptocurrencies, do it with an amount of money. And this goes for any type of trading, you know, do this with an amount of money that you're okay with losing, essentially, because, you know, like we've seen over the last month is it's down 60%. And if you're someone that's relying on, you know, your nest egg to kind of keep you going and you take a massive hit like this, I mean, you're just done. So, you know, that's sort of the first thing is really shaping, you know, shaping it to people. Yeah, there has been these great stories of, you know, 10,000% gains and, you know, in 6 months or whatever, you know, there's all this stuff kind of floating around right there to excite people. And, you know, there was the thing with Facebook taking down ads and things like that. But yeah, I mean, so the next step I would say is the exchanges, you know, the whole Mt. Gox type scenario where, Mt. Gox went down and hundreds of millions of dollars were lost. And so another thing we tell our members, and I would tell to anyone, is don't leave a lot of money on the exchange. So if you're doing something where you're short-term trading a particular token or cryptocurrency, so say it's something where you're looking to stay in it for a couple of weeks or something like that, I would say in that situation, you know, it really depends, but I would say it's probably okay to leave it on exchange, but more times than not, what I prefer to do, and I tell our members, is move it to a hardware wallet or cold storage or something like that. So if you're looking to be more of the term or acronym HODL or HODL, hold on for dear life, it's sort of, you know, a popular saying in the crypto world. So if you are one of these people that have more of the mentality of the buy and hold, what I would suggest is if whatever it is, Bitcoin or Ethereum or Litecoin, whatever you're buying, I would look into hardware wallets. To me, it's sort of the sweet spot for security. So there's the Trezor, the Ledger Nano. I own one of these both. And to me, this is, you can look at it as your, you know, your own personal bank or own personal digital vault. So you basically, you know, would buy these on something, like I said, on Coinbase, and then sending this to your hardware wallet. And then you own basically, you know, the private key, which is essentially where what represents the coin or token. So I would say, you know, those are two small steps you can take to really help sort of secure yourself. Now, maybe the one last thing I would say is two-factor authentication. This is something that really, I think, you know, over the coming years, we're going to see more things like this, but it's basically just one extra layer of security to kind of protect yourself. And, you know, I would say those are a few real simple things that, you know, any kind of average investor could do and help safeguard themselves, you know, in this kind of crazy but exciting, you know, crypto world.
Yeah. So what about the future of crypto? You think it's going to eventually replace regular fiat currency, or is it just going to augment our existing monetary system? Which, interestingly enough, the existing international monetary system was never planned out. It's strictly a case of ad hoc measures taking place, and you know, just it looks very irrational now, but that's because it wasn't planned out.
Sure. It was kind of like a patchwork kind of quilt, you know, just building as you go, sort of.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, in my mind, and, you know, my hopes are is that, yes, this will eventually, you know, whether it's Bitcoin or Litecoin or Stellar or whatever it becomes, my hope is that, yes, that we will move to a more decentralized means of exchange or holding value. And, you know, as the world is shaping, we're getting to globalization and things like that. You know, I'm sure there's, you know, opinions on both sides of the table, whether this is a good or bad thing. But in my mind is if we want to become this, you know, kind of global society or whatever, you know, maybe after I'm dead, maybe. But I think this is the means to getting there is we need a better way to, you know, transparently exchange value between each other when we buy things or whatever. So, you know, I think finance and currency is always really the big topic with cryptos. But in my mind, it's going to reshape a lot of the world that we may not even realize. So things like voting, you know, 2000 or the most recent presidential election, you know, there's still talk to debate or today about, you know, was this legitimate? Was there fraud? You know, yada, yada, yada. And this happens with every election. With blockchain technology, I really, truly think that maybe not this, you know, next time around, but maybe the one after that, we will see a blockchain-based voting system. There's already companies currently working on this. And to me, that's really exciting. I think the idea of, you know, using maybe like the iPhone 10, for example, has this face recognition. You know, Google's phones have the thumb ID, all these things. So getting back to the two-factor authentication, being able to hold your thumb to a phone, it scans your face, and that represents your vote. That's really powerful. And I mean, I think that expands the ability to get, you know, some people that can get to the polls, give them the ability to cast their, you know, their voice, their vote. So yes, I do believe that long-term, you know, cryptocurrencies will be around. I think it's still a little early to tell, you know, the establishment, as you may call them, you know, the existing kind of banking cartel and, you know, their ties to the government, they've got a pretty sweet, you know, kind of thing going for them. And this is directly opposing that. So I would say, you know, they're not going to go down without a fight. But, it, you know, I think this all came out of 2008, 2009. That's when the white paper for Bitcoin came out.
Yes.
Where the pseudonym, you know, Satoshi Nakamoto said, you know, I've had enough. You know, I want a more fair world. And I think, you know, if more people start to realize that idea or the philosophy, you know, it's going to be a fight, I think. I think we're far from really the main decision if that's going to happen. But yeah, my hope is that, yes, we are going to a cryptocurrency based kind of world.
Okay, well, it's really fascinating to watch the whole thing unfold. And I think the way to make money in this if you have the temperament for it, and I don't necessarily have it, is trading, because there's so many inconsistencies. There's so many irrational pricing things going on with the exchanges that this could be like the advent of day trading for stocks. Longer term holding, I don't buy it, because you know there's very few things you hold on to for dear life. And cryptocurrencies, I just don't buy it. It being one of them, it's an investment vehicle. A speculative vehicle, a vehicle to gamble with a little bit of knowledge, though. There's nothing wrong with being a speculator. It's kind of like what they say when you go to the hold'em table. If you look around and can't figure out who the sucker is, it's you. And, you know, speculation means with an edge. Speculation with an edge, having knowledge and having the ability to profit by that knowledge and the ability to limit your risk. Otherwise, that's the difference between a speculator and an out-and-out gambler. And too many of the people out there, Jared, you know it, are gamblers who bet the ranch. And, you know, the one thing, if you ever watch the show Dallas, Larry Hagman's character there, I think it was JP, he always said, never bet the ranch. And, you know, you never bet the ranch on anything. Well, hey, so people want to find out more about you, check out the course, get involved. What's the best way to do that?
Sure. So you can just go to simplertrading.com/crypto. And we've got a membership where you can hang out with us. We've got a community of, you know, like-minded individuals. We have a live chat room environment. So yeah, if you want to come hang out, that's the place to go.
All right. Sounds like fun. We'll have a link to it on our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter if you haven't done it already. I'm writing an article about the rise and fall, and in parens, rise again, of Bitcoin. I think you'll want to take a look at it. Hey, by the way, email us, participate in the show, kl@kerrylutz.com. The Twitter handle is @KerryLutz, and the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Jared, thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon, and happy investing.
Hey, thank you for having me, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.